You know, at some point, you may need some legal help to get maybe an employer to pay for the overtime you worked, or maybe get your security deposit back, or maybe convince court officials to expunge a criminal conviction. Those are some of the things that, well, obviously very difficult problems, but they can be resolved through Legal Action of Wisconsin. It's the state's largest civil legal aid firm, and we have a couple of guests for us today. Larry Dupuy is the Chief Advocacy and Legal Officer. Larry, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining in.
Thank you for having us.
Rachel Fox Armstrong, our other guest, is the Chief External Relations Officer. And Rachel, great to have you coming in as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
As we talk with our two guests, I hope you'll join in. Later on, we'll talk about jury duty. That's at 12:30. But for right now, we are looking at things like eviction notices, maybe needing some help resolving a tax dispute, possibly with the IRS. Maybe you've had experiences to share with us about Legal Action of Wisconsin through the work that you've done with those folks. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Rachel, Legal Action of Wisconsin is one of the state's largest, I think, nonprofit law firms providing civil legal services, and you do it free of charge. How big is the firm?
Yes. So our firm is about 140 staff members strong. We have roughly 90 staff attorneys as part of that staff. And then we do have a really robust volunteer network, over 400 volunteer attorneys, students, paralegals, and other legal professionals that help us take about 13,000 cases every year.
13,000. That's a lot of cases. Do you have a relationship with the Office of Wisconsin State Public Defenders? I was going to ask that because we just talked to Rachel. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's an interesting question because I think it's often a misunderstanding from civil legal aid and what that is.
Yeah.
We hear, you know, the Miranda rights, you know, you have a right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed to you, and that would be the State Public Defender's Office. But in civil and administrative cases, you don't have that same right to an attorney. And if you can't afford one, you do not have access to one unless you can get access through organizations like ours. And there is a really high need for those services.
Yeah, I would think so. Larry, your firm helps clients get criminal records corrected or maybe expunged. You help with arrest warrants, people who have arrest warrants because of perhaps unpaid court debts. Why do you take cases like these?
Well, I think the basic thing is, like, although there is a right to counsel in criminal cases, and obviously having your liberty taken away in a criminal case is an extremely serious, life-altering thing. Frankly, a lot of what we are helping people with is also life-altering. So in addition to the things that you mentioned where, you know, you're talking about somebody who has a criminal background that has got errors in it. We had one big case we did a few years back called Teague versus Schimmel involved, you know, people who had criminal records that were, they really didn't have a criminal record, but somebody had used their name, given the police their name when they were arrested. And it took a lawsuit and going all the way to the Supreme Court to get that taken out. So that's really important. And expungement is very important. But we also deal with very immediate kinds of life-altering situations, like people being evicted. The landlord might lock them out, not even give them the civil process that they're supposed to get. Or somebody might be facing imminent harm from either a domestic partner who is abusing them, or they might be a victim of trafficking. And all of those things can be extremely serious and have very, very life-altering consequences for people, can even be life and death in some circumstances. I mean, being homeless during that last cold stretch could have been really, really harmful for people, especially if they have other health problems. So, you know, these are very serious things, but unfortunately, there isn't, at this point at least, a right to counsel in those cases. And so, you know, organizations like ours are, you know, there to do the work. We get money from a variety of sources. Rachel's in a better position to talk about that than I am. But really what we're trying to do is provide that safety net that when somebody is either caught up in the legal system, the civil legal system, or they need something from the legal system, like a restraining order against an abuser, or they need an order that the landlord has to let them back in to get their things after locking them out. And, you know, those are extremely important things. And, you know, there are people among us who think that there really should be an equivalent to Gideon versus Wainwright. I heard Jennifer Bias mention that. There should be a civil version of the Gideon rule for at least some of these categories where of cases where the effects can be so profound.
Yeah. And Rachel, you do get your sources. I mean, somebody would say, well, where does the money come from? It's got to come from somewhere.
Yes, and we do get a lot of support through grants. About 60% of our funding is derived from federal sources, either directly or runs through our kind of local municipalities and through to us, but then also other grants, foundation support, individual giving. While I did mention that we take 13,000 cases a year, I will also say that over 500,000 people in the state of Wisconsin qualify for our services every year. So we do have to turn away about 70% of the people who even make it through our phone system to call us to ask for help. So, you know, we are the largest nonprofit law firm, as you said at the top. But the need is just enormous. So we have a tremendous amount of support, but we're always seeking more support, donors, corporations, foundations, you know, the state, a lot of states surrounding us fund civil legal aid, some in the millions. Wisconsin has not funded civil legal aid as a direct line item for quite some time. So we are always seeking more support because the need is really vast.
Mark in Sheboygan has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Hi, I'm going to turn my speaker back off. Maybe I can hear you guys can hear me a little better. I'm calling about a pardon that I did for my son, or tried to apply for through the governor. Like so 4 years ago, I think I still have his decision. My son is now, he was born in 79, so I think he's like 47 years old right now. He was convicted of a felony when he was a juvenile. They tried him as an adult. And this has been hanging over his head. And when we did the pardon, the governor said no. The answer was no. So, I mean, we had no help. My son, when he was convicted of this crime, he was actually only 15 years old. This turning 16, he was part of a gang-related crime. So they charged him as a felony because it was a group of kids. So then they waited a little longer till he turned, I think, almost 17, and then they tried him for an adult, and the prosecutor, or not the prosecutor, but the public defender was Fred Wilk, the attorney in Sheboygan at the time, ready to retire. He did absolutely nothing for my son.
Well, you know, I don't know that we can litigate the case, but now what should be the approach for Mark here moving forward?
Yeah, well, so again, I can't give legal advice over a radio show.
Of
obviously,
course.
You wouldn't want to get, you know, we don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of the specific case. Legal action, I mean, we've not always had this, but for relatively short number of years, we have had a program as part of our employability work to provide either, you know, efforts to expunge cases, which is a very narrow band of cases where expungement is allowed in Wisconsin. It is for juveniles, but it's only for, you know, certain relatively minor felonies. And the judge has to say at the beginning that you can have your conviction expunged after you've completed your sentence. Pardon is, it's something that the state constitution vests discretionary authority in the governor. And governors before Tony Evers, the two governors prior to that, did not issue, I don't believe, any pardons. If they did, they were very, very few and rare. Governor Evers, I don't know how long it took to get started, but he set up sort of a system of providing pardons under some circumstances and takes applications for them and that kind of thing. He has a sort of strict list of criteria that he's looking for, sort of.
Yeah.
And one of those is that you have to have completed the prison part of your sentence at a minimum.
We can talk some more about that. We're going to take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back with Larry Dupuy and Rachel Fox Armstrong to answer more questions about what's going on in the responsibilities of legal action of Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Back right at the news. Great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at the work of Legal Action of Wisconsin, who does a lot of work in the state, providing free help for those who have, under a wide variety of civil court situations, they're covering it. We'll get a little more detail on that as we go along here. But I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts as we move along. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to talk at WPR.org. Just when we broke for news, Mark had called us about working to try and get a conviction expunged for his son, who under a variety of circumstances he explained it briefly. What would be just a next step for him? Would Legal Action of Wisconsin be a place for him to at least seek more information or get more help?
Yeah, that is a possibility. Our phone number is 855-947-2529, and the caller could certainly contact Legal Action and see if we can give advice on that. As I said, there are, sort of criteria that the governor, who has a lot of discretion in this area, has. So, they may at least be able to go through those criteria, give the person a sense of whether they might qualify under those criteria, and then help, help put together, as compelling a package as possible to get the governor's, the board of people who review these things for the governor, and then the governor to agree to that. So it's definitely worth checking. I can't, guarantee that we'd be able to represent.
Sure.
Depend on income and that kind of thing, whether the person qualifies.
It's 855, and the number is 855-4, I lost it already.
I can tell you it's
847-2529.
947-2529.
You can also apply online as well at legalaction.org.
Yeah, legalaction.org might be the easy way to do it. We can post those up on our page today at talk at WPR.org/Larry. We post the show about 2 hours after the show's over, and we can certainly add the numbers and the website for folks who didn't get that written down. Kim in Eau Claire has a question. Kim, thank you for calling.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, I don't know if this has been talked about. So I, as a public person, had to pay a tariff last year on an import from India. And I know the judges have determined that tariffs weren't legal. Is there any recourse, or do you guys know of if I could get my money back?
Yeah.
So
I was going to ask, does that fall under your purview there, Larry?
No, this is not something that we have been involved in. It is a civil matter, but it's not something that legal action has been involved in directly at this point. And I'm not, maybe arguably under our consumer work we could, but typically what we're doing in those cases is helping people who have low, very, or moderate income deal with debt collectors who are coming after them inappropriately. And those are sort of the major kinds of cases we handle there. Occasionally, tax-related things. And one of the things the Supreme Court decided in that case was that this is a tax and only Congress can authorize a tax. But I think that's something that, what I would do is go and look at the U.S. Supreme Court decision and see who the lawyers in those cases were, and maybe try to reach out to some of them. That's not something that we have a lot of expertise in.
Kim, thank you for calling. Brett in Madison, your turn. Hi, Brett.
Yeah, great program, Larry. Hope you get done in time to watch the Badgers. So, because they're lost without you, Larry. But question on my two children have autism, and I recently learned that the state of Wisconsin funds private schools with special needs kids at almost 100%, but public schools at only 35%. Do you do class action lawsuits? This seems to violate the Equal Protection Clause, the Constitution, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and a whole bunch of other federal laws and probably state laws as well. But
I'll
do those kind of lawsuits representing young people with special needs. So.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, Brett.
Yeah, that's a great question. Unfortunately, we do not take class action lawsuits. We have a number of federal funders, and there are specific things that they look for our work. And some of those involve things that we aren't able to do because of the funding that we receive. And one of those is class action. So I'm sorry that we don't have an answer for you on that question. It's not in the purview of the work that we do. But do you have anything you want to add, Larry?
Yeah, one thing I might suggest is there is another civil legal aid firm out there called Disability Rights Wisconsin, and they may be a good source to get some information. If they can't represent you, they might be able to steer you to other attorneys who are involved in disability rights, especially in the school systems. That's a very common area of work that Disability Rights Wisconsin does. And we partner with them on a number of things, but one of the things we don't partner with them on is class actions because of the restrictions on from some of our funders.
There you go, Brett. Thank you very much for calling. By the way, you could join in too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I was thinking about this, and I'm sure that there are many people who say, "Well, I got a civil suit here. I can be my own attorney for that," even though I'm not one. Rachel, probably not the best idea.
Right. Yeah. We find, the legal system is really developed by attorneys to be navigated with attorneys. It's really hard to navigate on your own. And especially when we think about the particular cases we work in, you're under an incredible amount of stress and urgency. You might be at risk of losing your home. You might be in a threat of violence. You might be losing your public benefits. You have some sort of error on your application and all of a sudden you can't put food on the table and you're not sure how to appeal and you're you're trying to make it to the jobs that you're working and, you know, navigate the system, find trustworthy information online. You know, it's a lot to try to navigate the system on your own in the best of times. And when you're facing some of these life-altering problems, the stress that you're under, what's at stake, it makes it even harder to navigate on your own. And I think any one of us, if we were faced with a legal problem, we'd want to feel that we have the knowledge and the help and the resources to access this legal system that is supposed to be here for all of us to find legal resolution and find fair resolutions. And unfortunately, without legal help, it's less likely you'll be able to do so.
Yeah, there's research that actually indicates that having a lawyer makes a huge difference in outcomes in these kinds of cases. And civil legal aid is essential to making sure that, you know, that the issues are presented to the court. You know, a lot of times people don't know how to present their case. They don't know what's relevant or what's not relevant. It's very hard for a court to sort of sort that out without the help of a lawyer. And we actually see this in practice in because we're often in a courtroom over and over again, and we're waiting for our case to be called. We see somebody else's case happen and somebody else doesn't have a lawyer. And I mean, we can't step in and suddenly say, hey, we'll be your lawyer right now. and we see what happens. I mean, and if they had been able to come to us, maybe we would have been able to advise them on how to present their case, or if we couldn't present it for them. And we sometimes see that happen, and somebody will come to us afterwards, and you know, it's usually too late, but sometimes we've actually managed to appeal for those people and been successful on appeal and had the case sent back, and you know, hope the court official learned something from that process. And won't do that to a pro se litigant in the future, but it's real.
Yeah, we find even that the judges are happy to see us in the courtroom because they know that the process is going to happen more smoothly. They feel like they're going to have a better understanding of the case in order to make their judgment. It helps it move along more quickly. One of our state funders actually did a study on the return on investment for civil legal aid and found that for every dollar spent on civil legal aid in Wisconsin, $8.40 is returned to the economy. And part of that is things like court efficiency. Some of that is also, you know, when you can prevent someone being turned out of their home, you know, without ability to even take their belongings, things like that, then you find a family who is spiraled further into poverty. They start over, they don't have furniture, you know, they might be in the shelter system, emergency services needing to be called, they might lose their job, you know, so you see the spiral of some of these problems that can really cause a drain on the other social services and the economy in Wisconsin. So civil legal aid is really a smart investment for donors, for the state, for funders.
So if I'm not sure that we've covered this. I'm trying to remember. If not, it's worth repeating because I can't remember it. What are the qualifications? You know, if somebody's listening in today saying, well, I wonder if I qualify to be asking for the services of legal action of Wisconsin, what are the criteria?
For eligibility, one of our main criteria is income. And so we typically assist folks who are 125% of the poverty line or below. There's some exceptions to that, but that's typically who we serve. And for listeners who don't know, you know, what that looks like for a family of four is around $40,000 a year. So we're talking about people who are really struggling to make ends meet. But we do have on our website, legalaction.org, kind of our list of eligibility requirements, and our intake staff are available to help talk through that because some of our areas of law have, you know, different requirements for assistance.
You might be hearing sirens and thinking the police have come to arrest me, but that is not the case. We, if you're hearing the sound, it means that there is probably a practice fire siren going off. That means that everybody except for me and my technical director will be staying here, and hopefully it won't last forever. And I don't know. I'm sure you're hearing it. Are you here? Yeah, you're hearing it as well. So let's get through this anyway, and assume that there is not a fire but it's a practice for a fire, and we'll keep going. This has happened to me. I've been doing this show a long, long time in this building, I think since 1978 in this building or something like that, and it happens once or twice a year on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus that buildings go through this. So,
well, your voice is louder than the siren, so we can hear you.
That is very, very good to know. Well, Larry, people charge, you know, they're not automatically get, if they're charged with a crime, they're not, and can't afford an attorney, they're not automatically going to get legal representation, are they?
Well, yeah, on the criminal side, I think when you were talking with Jennifer Bias, she indicated that they have an income cap that's actually quite low. So even in the criminal realm, yeah, it's very true that just because you are charged with a crime, you don't immediately get a right to counsel. You have to be below a certain sort of indigency level to get SPD help. And sometimes if a court thinks that the person really needs a lawyer for their criminal case, even if they don't qualify for the public defender, the circuit court can appoint a lawyer at county expense. But yeah, it is sort of the idea is you shouldn't face possible imprisonment without the assistance of a lawyer, and the courts try to do their best to make sure that if somebody can't pay for the lawyer themselves, that they would have access to a lawyer either through the SPD or otherwise. But yeah, if you make a certain amount of money, they're going to say no at first, at least, and then you know.
And there you go. We are just about tax time. And I know that you provide help resolving tax issues. And I'm just now being told that we're going to have to ring off.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the first time I've ever had to do this on a show. I've always kept going right through the show. And so maybe there is a fire in the building. I don't have no idea. But we'll find out.
I hope everything's okay. Thank you for having us.
I'm very sorry. And listen, will you come back?
Of course.
Let's do this on a day when there's not the sirens going off in the building and everybody is supposed to leave. Thank you both.
We want you to be safe. So,
you know, I'm an old guy, been around a long time. I can take care of myself. Rachel, Larry, thank you so much.
We will get you
back and we'll do this properly, okay?
Thank you. Good luck.
Larry Dupuy is the Chief Advocacy and Legal Officer for Legal Aid of Wisconsin. Rachel Fox Armstrong, the Chief External Relations Officer of Legal Action of Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.